How's it going, everybody? This is the Nitty Gritty. My name is Chad. With me, as usual, is Leonard. This is a show about wrestling, and every so often, we do a thing here called Fever Dreams. And basically, it is a type of fantasy booking. We insert names of male wrestlers, female wrestlers, tag teams, gimmick matches, belts, managers, etc., into a random name generator. And we have created a makeshift card, and whatever names pop up, we then debate who will win said matches. Now, this is not the first time we have done this. We've been doing this for a couple years now,
At least, yeah.
several years now. And so, as such, we have kind of created our own little universe, and we already have some champions. And the last one we did, Leonard, was at the end of summer, Swelter Slam. And what came out of that are the following champions. The straight edge version of CM Punk is the Smoky Mountain US Junior Heavyweight Champion. Our FDW Fever Dreams Wrestling Women's Champ is Awesome Kong. The FDW Tag Champs are the Mega Powers Foundation. And the FDW Galaxy Champion is Bruno Sammartino. And we will touch on some of the other results of Swelter Slam as we move along here. But just to give you an idea of what this is going to be like, we have, it's not really a dark match. I didn't put that as a dark match, but we have an opening match, which is just one versus one. However, there is going to be a special gimmick attached to it. But before we get to that, Leonard, if you have anything to add, go ahead. Otherwise, you can give your names of who you pulled.
No, this is one of the more fun things that we do. And I know we got a lot of matches to get through because we both want to try out a bonus match, so we'll get to it. So I usually, because we found it slows me my computer down a lot, I generate right before we come on the air. So for this first match, I've got Rick Steiner versus TJ Perkins.
Interesting. Rick Steiner. Oh, that might come into effect later. Interesting. TJ Perkins, for those who might not remember, was the winner of the Cruiserweight tournament that WWE did on their
Yeah, he had a gamer gimmick. And it was known as TJP at one point.
Right. Yeah, he was hot there for, a cup of coffee. The gimmick is a special winter themed gimmick because we were recording this in the wintertime. Leonard, I created a bunch of cool winter gimmick matches that I input into the name generator. Some of the ones that didn't get picked, the Igloo of Death match
I
did
like
not
that.
get picked. The snow shovel match did not get picked. Let's see what else. The bed of salt match
That's a good one.
did not get picked, nor did what was another one? The snowplow parking lot brawl. So instead of surrounded by cars, the guys are surrounded by
Yep.
snowplows.
That's a great one.
Yeah. But what did get picked was the glacier match. And that is, yes, you guessed it, a match on a glacier involving glacier.
I was going to say Glacier needs to do a run-in.
Yep. Absolutely. A match on a glacier involving glacier. So, Leonard, you haven't had much time to think, but who do you see winning this now that you know what type of match it is?
Okay, well, how is Glacier involved?
Well, that we haven't decided that yet.
Okay, because here's the thing. If Glacier is involved, I think that favors Rick Steiner because he knows Rick Steiner.
That probably, or maybe because he knows Rick Steiner, maybe it favors TJ
Because
Perkins.
he doesn't like Rick Steiner. I don't remember Rick and Glacier having interaction back in WCW. I don't know. Usually Glacier was, kind of on an island with
Yeah.
Mortis and Wrath and doing those types of things. TJ is a light, quick guy, but you're on a glacier that's slippery, that's icy.
Right.
I think Rick is more of a kind of a ground and pound kind of dude. And thinking that Glacier might go with Rick, and considering that, I go with Rick Steiner.
So yeah, I mean, I would love to see Glacier go with TJ Perkins simply to say, maybe Rick Steiner held him down, and maybe he wants to get back at him because of that. But even if it's two against one, those particular two against Rick Steiner, I would still slightly favor Rick Steiner.
Yes.
So yeah, I see Rick Steiner winning this match simply because it is, an unusual terrain, and without the ability to use his high flying skills, TJ Perkins, doesn't really become a huge threat, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely a Rick win.
Right. So, all right, moving on. We are going to be doing our Smoky Mountain U.S. Junior Heavyweight Champion. And, in the past, these random belts that we generate, this one's been our belt for a while.
Yeah.
And we said that the person could turn it in for a huge title shot. But we haven't done that yet, and I honestly don't see that happening here. But we do have a match because John Moxley won a lifeguard lumberjack match
Yes.
at SwelterSlam. So he is challenging CM Punk Straight Edge version for this belt. There is going to be a run-in, and there's managers. So I don't know.
Yes, I've generated those. So CM Punk's manager is going to be Precious Paul Ellering,
Ooh, that's
best known for working with the Road Warriors. And then John Moxley's manager is going to be Arnold Skaland,
okay.
best known for working with the World Wrestling Federation in the late 70s, early 80s. I don't remember specifically who he managed.
Yep. All right.
And then the run-in is WWE first run version of Goldberg.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Well, I mean, I definitely see a irritable Goldberg not favoring CM Punk at this era. This era of CM Punk is crucial. So right now, CM Punk in WWE is according to everybody that we hear on the internet that's been there, oh, he's matured now, he's mellow, he's fun to be around. I'm sure it's just very jubilant, but this era of CM Punk that we're talking about was not that way. So I would say Goldberg would favor Moxley in this. Do you agree with that?
I think Goldberg would beat the shit out of both of them.
Probably.
I think he would just run in and jackhammer both of them and leave him lying.
So you would call this match a draw?
I think I would call this match a draw because of Goldberg interference. And I don't think Goldberg fits the weight limit for the US Junior Championship.
Well, no,
No,
he's
well,
not
it's not a
involved in that.
lightweight title.
Yeah.
I could say, usually when you say junior heavyweight or junior, it's considered a lightweight title. So, I think we might have to come back with a triple threat to decide this because I think Goldberg's going to come in. Now, with Goldberg, I don't think the managers play in a lot here. I think,
Yeah.
again, I'm not too familiar with Scotland. I do think the Ellering would be a good strategist.
I'm pretty sure Goldberg would have killed Arnold Skaland.
Yeah, would have probably beat up the managers as well. So my prediction is Goldberg lays out everyone breathing in this match. It's a no contest.
No contest. Wow. Well, that might get some boos from our viewers, but that's what has to
Yeah.
be done because I would say that that's a very logical conclusion of what would happen
Yeah.
here. Boy, I doesn't spell well though for the future of the Smoky Mountain U.S. Junior Championship if Goldberg is involved in the next match.
I think he has to be. If he knocks everybody out, he has to be involved.
Right. Yeah. Well, we will see what happens. So the next match is a triple threat where I pick the names, and I was actually really excited about the names that came out of this.
Okay.
So we have Abyss from TNA versus Leatherface versus Bray Wyatt, the Wyatt family version of Bray Wyatt. That means it's not the Fiend, it's just
Yeah.
Wyatt family version.
Wow. That you could not have picked like three better. Even if you tried, even if you rigged it, you probably wouldn't have came up with those three names because those three names have similar are what I would put sort of in the creepy basket of
Yes.
gimmicks. Who would and it's just a regular triple threat.
The regular triple threat, yeah. I mean, and in triple threat, technically there are no rules,
Yeah.
but still, this is a hard one to decipher because you could make the argument for Bray Wyatt because he's, held gold, and not that Abyss hasn't, but Bray Wyatt has made it to the top of the mountain, and has a whole faction of guys behind him and all that kind of stuff. However, Leatherface is another level of hardcore. So if there are no rules, he will take advantage of that fact in this match. So you're talking beds of nails, barbed wire,
Chainsaw.
chainsaw. Yeah, of course, duh. So I don't know. I'm leaning more towards Leatherface here, but I don't know. Leonard, you might be able to sway me.
Well, I definitely think Bray Wyatt is the bigger name here. I think he's the one probably with the most skill. I think he's in a logical booking situation, the guy that you would pick. Abyss would be next in line there, I think, just based on that. But I love the argument that you do make for Leatherface, given the situation, because I think Abyss and Bray Wyatt would start out just wrestling. Leatherface is going to go get the chairs and the thumbtacks and the spike baseball bats and whatever else he can find. And I think if he can turn that into a hardcore match, so if he can get them to wrestle his match, then I think that does favor Leatherface. And I like the idea of Leatherface winning in an upset and us bringing him back for something next time around. So while I initially would have went with Bray Wyatt, and I am not a big Bray Wyatt fan, I'm gonna agree with you. I'm gonna go with Leatherface.
All right. Wow. Well, see, I thought you were going to go with Bray Wyatt there. But that's exciting.
It's more interesting booking to do Leatherface.
Absolutely. I agree. So Leatherface comes out with the victory. So you know what? Before we get to our next match, Leonard, why don't you throw out your bonus match?
My bonus match. So last time, and I forgot this on Swelter Slam, we did an intergender tag team match.
Yeah.
And that was fun. And that was won by Rick Rude and the Fabulous Moolah. So what I did was I generated another intergender match, and I want the winners to come back and face Rude and Moolah.
Okay.
Next time we do this, because I think I know what the match is going to be, and it is going to be epic. So this intergender tag match, we have Chris Harris from America's Most Wanted,
Yeah.
and Rockin' Robin, sister of Jake Roberts and Sam Houston, former
Okay.
WWE Women's Champion. Chris Harris and Rockin' Robin versus Stone Cold Steve Austin and Mae Young.
That is an amazing tag team right there. And I mean, gosh, this is to me, near a squash, I would think. I mean, you have Austin in there with the Steve Weisers and Mae Young, who's probably tougher than everybody in this match.
Yeah, and
So,
Steve would tell you that too.
right. So yeah, I mean, and Rockin' Robin is, one of those blips on the early WWF map that there weren't a lot of high points.
No, she was the champ in the late 80s, and I think it was the belt was retired shortly after she had it. I think she might have dropped it back to Sherry. And then it got retired, and then it came back under Alundra Blayze. But
Right.
she, had the belt, I think around 89. I remember her. I think she's better than a lot of people remember her being. But it doesn't say which version of Mae Young. I assume this would be an in a prime Mae Young. But even old Mae Young would probably still take her out. I
So,
mean, Mae Young in her 80s was going through tables,
yeah,
so.
I would have to say Austin and Mae Young win this for sure. And the fact that we're going to see that match on our next show is exciting.
Yes. Austin and Young versus Moolah and Rude is I can't wait for that. That is a great matchup.
Right. Well, our next match comes after a previous triple threat match. That is the Mega Powers Foundation of Terrence Bollea and Randall Poffo against Edge and Christian and Owen Hart and the British Bulldog. So after that first triple threat match, we decided that there needed to be a gimmick involved. But not only that, we're adding another team to the match. And before you list the gimmick, Leonard, I'm going to talk about the team that got selected
Yes,
here because
dream team.
initially I didn't know what this was. I had an idea, but like when it came up, I actually just skipped it to pick again because I was like, I don't feel like looking up who this is. And it gave me a tag team that was worse. And then so I picked a second time, and this team came up a second time out of all of our tag teams.
Fate, they wanted you to do this tag team.
And here's why it's fate. It's a stable. The stable is Immortal.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah,
so
from TNA.
from
Yes.
TNA. So let's, and I'm going to allow you, Leonard, to pick the names off this list.
Okay, yeah, because you're gonna have to refresh me who was in Immortal. I know it was like the legend dudes.
Yeah, so the leaders were Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan. So they, I don't know, Hogan wasn't really in a wrestling capacity in TNA.
Yes, but Hogan against himself is always a good plan, but I don't think we're gonna do that.
Yeah, so we have Abyss, Jeff Hardy, Jeff Jarrett, the entire Fortune stable partnered with them at one time. You have Gunner, Murphy, the referee Jackson James, Rob Terry, Matt Hardy,
Yeah.
valet Karen Jarrett, Ric Flair, Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, Chris Harris, Scott Steiner, Mr. Anderson, and Kurt Angle.
Wow. Some of those people have already worked tonight. So
Right.
I throw those in there. Initially, I like the I think Gunner and Murphy were the actual tag team of that group. I
Yes.
think they worked as a tag team. So I would say either Gunner or Murphy, or we could create the Hardy Boys. Or I also like the idea of Jeff and Jeff, of Hardy and Jarrett, the Jeffs.
You know what? It would probably be interesting if we put the Hardy Boys in there.
Hardy, you want to do the Hardy Boys?
Yeah,
Okay, let's do
we'll
the
put
Hardy
the Hardy
Boys.
Boys in there. As much as I would love to have seen Rob Terry and Kurt Angle
Yeah. Or
as
Kurt
tag team.
and his ex-wife.
Yeah, that's true too. All right. So you have Hogan's stable facing against him here in a fatal four-way. Now, Leonard, what is the gimmick?
The gimmick is the greatest gimmick ever in professional wrestling history. It is Judy Bagwell on a pole.
Oh my God. Oh man. So was that, you're gonna have to refresh my memory, Leonard. Was that a
Yeah,
hardcore match?
so basically, Beth Bagwell's mom, Judy Bagwell, was brought out and was on top of a forklift. And you had to get into the forklift and lower her down to win the match. So with that being given, yeah, it's hardcore. It's no DQ. It's no count out. You do whatever you want. You just have to free Judy Bagwell from the forklift.
All right. Well, I know that we have been consistent with this tag team for a while, but I don't see any of these teams being able to save Judy Bagwell like the Mega Powers.
I know. I mean, the other teams are a little bit. Edge and Christian and the Hardys, of course, have had some great matches together. I think Owen and Bulldog is a nice fit for that. If this was any sort of other kind of gimmick, yeah, I could see them. I could see an argument for them. But the two things with the Mega Powers Foundation is they're the biggest, sort of toughest guys, maybe outside of Bulldog, depending on what version it is that you're dealing with. So, I can see them taking a power advantage. I also see them, doing where, say, Savage is holding everyone off while Hogan goes to the forklift. I can also say this very much feels like a match that the Mega Powers would leverage to get because it's one, because they're not doing ladders, they're
No.
not doing tables. They're
Yeah,
not doing
you
all
think
this
this
crazy.
has some political motivations behind it then?
They're not doing a scaffold match. They're not doing anything like that. So this definitely feels like something that the mega powers gimmicked for, or not gimmick, but protested for or
Does
whatnot.
this mean that she joins the Mega Powers Foundation?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I would say whoever frees Judy gets Judy. So I think Judith Bagwell joins the Mega Powers Foundation.
I think that's a great idea. That means that they have two female valets
Yes,
then.
Alexandra York, of course, and then
Well,
Judith
three then.
Balance.
Elizabeth Ullett
Oh yeah, she's also with them. So they've got as many women as Ric Flair.
is Yeah.
Or
So
Steiner. Steiner had three women at one point. Yeah, but was it Medeja and Pamela Paul Shock and one other
that's
one?
true. Yeah, he
So
has.
yeah, so they're in Scott's the Papa Pump levels here.
Absolutely. And they are indeed immortal at this point in our universe.
Yes.
So they remain on top. The next match is a triple threat for the FDW Women's Championship. And Leonard has picked the names for that one.
Yes, so this is good. So Awesome Kong is our champion. So she's going to be defending against Medusa and Jordynne Grace.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh man, so I lean in one way here because so Jordynne Grace is, right now is certainly on her way up. The sky's the limit. I really like her a lot, and there's not a ton that really enthuses me about WWE's product in general right now, but her being involved does. I hope that they don't sleep on her and have her kind of get run through the wood chipper for years before they decide to grant her a title. Because I think she's ready soon. She's been paying her dues in TNA for a long time. So I think, but she's not yet reached her peak. That's where I'm going. We have not seen the best of her just yet. So Awesome Kong versus Medusa on its own is a really good match. We know that Medusa, Alundra Blayze, whatever version you want to say, can work with ladies of any size. So
Yes, and of course had feuds with Bull Nakano and it was whoever Bertha Faye was. I know she also came from Japan. So yes, it has fought with larger ladies and has managed to do German suplexes on them and to show her strength against larger ladies like Awesome Kong. So
yeah,
I
I see
when
it.
I pulled
Awesome.
those names, because typically I think Awesome Kong would probably be 99% of the names we would have pulled out of the hat.
Yeah.
But Medusa and Jordynne Grace are two of the names I think have a legitimate shot against her. The thing is, with a triple threat, do they somehow cancel each other out?
Well, I honestly see this going the way of other multi-person matches. I think that initially they would team up against Awesome Kong,
Yes.
being the
I agree with that.
intimidating champion, and then maybe the two of them battle. And maybe Awesome Kong has one last rally at the end. But I see this going the way of Medusa. I think she is our new champion here.
Medusa is certainly, I think, the most savvy, the most experienced. She came up during a couple different, eras. I mean, she came up during the 80s. She was a centerpiece of the 90s. She can work, we know, with the greater Japanese ladies. While Awesome Kong is big and tough, I think Medusa is tougher. She has hidden strength. I think this is probably going to come down to something where Awesome Kong is going to be dealing with Jordynne Grace. Maybe she's going to get Grace up, something impressive like in a fireman's carry. And then Medusa is going to come in, clip the knee, drop kick her, something to take her out and could even pin Jordan here. But yeah, I think Medusa makes certainly a great worthy new women's champion for us.
Oh, that is a big big title change on our event here, which I don't think I made. Did I say the title? Blizzard Bash? That was the title I had in my head.
Blizzard Bash, yes, you did mention it because we had the winter blizzard gimmick at the
That's
start.
okay, fine.
Yes.
If anybody has any better winter titles, please let me know.
Yes.
So we are leading then to our main event, which after the last show, Vader, the Japan version of Vader, won a fatal four-way hardcore swimming pool match
Yes.
where he held somebody's head underwater for 10 seconds.
Yeah, I forget who it was, but yeah, it was like, if anybody's going to try to drown someone, it'll be Vader.
Right. And so we decided that he was worthy enough for a title shot against Bruno Sammartino. And he has received it here. And there will be a gimmick attached, which I have picked. And it is a last man standing match.
That's a great gimmick for this dude. That
Yeah.
is awesome.
And it does not bode well for the classically trained veteran Bruno Sammartino. So this would be, even if it wasn't a last man standing match, this would be a fun match, because I think that, knowing all the stories we've heard about Vader, who is very stiff in the ring, I know that Bruno would give it right back to him,
Yes.
which I think would make for an interesting dynamic. And I think that their styles, although they're two bigger dudes, like, I don't think their styles are totally dissimilar.
No, I think they both, there's the idea that Bruno is a mat-based wrestler or a classic type of grappler, but he could brawl. If you see any of the WWF cage matches he had, the feud he had with Stan Hansen, he could brawl, he could fight. So I think Bruno is a grappler with brawling capabilities. I think Vader is a brawler with wrestling capabilities.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
flip side of the same coin, big, tough. The fact that this is a last man standing match, I do think favors Vader, because I think Vader is going to be willing to do more, like go outside the ring to get a chair, to use the steps,
Yeah.
to power bomb Bruno on the entrance ramp, to do these types of things. So I think because of, and again, this is, I mean, this is peak Vader. This is best Vader. If
Yeah.
you, even if you've seen Vader, WCW Prime Vader, that's still not as good as the Japanese stuff he was doing. I mean, he
I agree.
started out as like Leon White at the end of the AWA and went to Japan and turned into what he turned into. So I think the best version of Vader in this type of match has an advantage over Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah, I would agree. I do think that we see a new champion here for all the reasons you mentioned. This is the type of match that would favor Vader. He would be able to use, any element he could to get Bruno down for a 10 count. And I think some of the moves that Vader has in his arsenal would be able to do that, in addition to all the, stuff outside the ring. So, wow, Leonard, we have two new champions coming out of this event. Vader, the Japanese version of Vader, is our FDW Galaxy champion. And I'm anxious to hear if anybody has any thoughts on who we picked to win that, because you never know. There might be some
Someone
people.
could make a real strong argument and even change our minds, so you never know.
Absolutely. So my bonus match, Leonard,
Yes.
is a stable match
Okay.
we have not done in a while.
No, I think I've.
This is going to be, I think you'll find this interesting.
Okay.
We have the Varsity Club
Oh, love Varsity Club.
versus King Booker's Court.
Okay, you're gonna have to remind me who's in King Booker's court.
So let's first go over the Varsity Club, which I have here just because we
Okay.
remember all the.
So let me see. Let me see. So Kevin Sullivan,
Yep.
Mike Rotundo, Rick Steiner, Steve Williams.
Yep.
Okay, those are the four I can think of off the top of my head.
Dan Spivey.
Oh, damn, I forgot Dan Spivey was in there for like a minute.
And then I can't tell if this is one valet or two. Leia Meow.
Oh, lay me out. Yeah.
That's one person.
No, Leia Meow is one person. Yes.
Okay, so that would be it then.
Yes. I don't remember Leia Meow being involved with the Varsity Club.
So that means, so we you need to choose, Leonard. You can choose who of the Varsity Club gets in this match, and that's why I said earlier about Rick Steiner, because
Yeah,
he's
Rick's
already
already
submitted.
worked. I don't think I can use Rick because Rick's already worked. I'm going with, I'm going with Mike Rotunda and Dr. Death. I think those are the two best guys.
Well, since this is a stable match, you got to go with three.
I'll go with three. Then Sullivan. Sullivan, Williams, and Rotundo, I think, would be the best representatives, considering that I don't want to use Rick twice.
All right. And yeah, I mean, you can't use Rick twice because he's on a glacier, for goodness sakes.
That's right. Like he would probably have to be flown in to
Yeah.
wherever we're at.
King Booker's court was, of course, King Booker T, William Regal, Fit Finlay, Queen Charmel, and I assume this is Hornswoggle, the little bastard.
Yeah, that's Hornswoggle.
Right.
Yeah.
So that means you have the Varsity Club against Booker T, Regal, and Finlay.
Wow. That's just going to be meaty people slapping the crap out of each other.
Yeah. Like, so in AEW, sometimes when you have two big burly guys, now they yell meat in the crowd. They just yell meat, which I think is funny. So, you might have
Okay,
that.
I looked up Lea Meow. She was a Nitro girl, and she was so the Varsity Club came back like at one point,
Oh,
and it's
okay.
when Vince Russo was like, everybody has to have a Nitro girl,
Yeah.
and so she was the Nitro girl because I was like, I thought, I was like, wait a minute, she's later than the Varsity Club, but it's when they came back in like 99 or something. So, yeah, she it was like Vince Russo went through a period where I don't care who you are, you had to have a Nitro girl. He gave everybody a Nitro girl. So even Kevin Sullivan got a Nitro girl.
Well, I think seeing Dr. Death and Fit Finlay in a match together, I think would be
Yeah.
fantastic. I would certainly pick, if it were one on one, I would certainly pick Dr. Death, but
Yeah, all these guys work stiff.
yeah.
And they're all except for Booker T. Booker, I think, is the weak link here.
Really?
Yeah. I think he is because he is not, of all those people, all those six guys, I would say he is the least tough.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Sullivan is certainly not chiseled out of stone, but he is a tough guy.
He's a tough guy. I also think that Booker's style is different than the other guys. I think
Oh,
the
yeah.
other guys have a mix of like what I would call maybe tough mat wrestling,
Yeah.
or not really brawlers, but they're impactful moves and power type of moves with that. So Booker, I think, sticks out a little bit like a sore thumb here. I definitely think he would be the if it's a none of these people are faces, but if it's like a face in peril hot tag situation, I think Booker is the guy who's going to be the subject of that.
Interesting. You might have swayed me there because I initially, in my head, I would have just assumed Kevin Sullivan, but the way you talk about it now makes me think that the Varsity Club would have the upper hand here. Is that where you were leaning as well?
Yes, because of and again, it's because of the mix of guys. If it was, some three other guys, it could change my mind. But the fact that Regal and Finley are have a very specific style, and I think that does mesh well more with the Varsity Club. I think the Varsity Club, because of Sullivan, great strategists.
Oh,
If
yeah.
you go back and look, they worked all their matches very smartly. So I think they would isolate Booker and beat down Booker. Now Booker gets the hot tag. Who knows? I think I don't want to end on a another no contest, but Finley going ape shit with the shillelagh is always a possibility here on this one.
Does the little bastard give them an upper hand? Maybe he distracts the Varsity Club at the end.
I think he would bite Lea Meow in the butt.
So that would be a non-factor then.
As a distraction, I think he would go after her. So,
I'll pick the Varsity Club here. I think because, with Dr. Death there, and I mean you have a very young, hot Mike Rotundo, in there, and.
yeah, I mean, it's peak Rotundo, it's peak Williams, it's peak Sullivan. Well, peak Sullivan probably would have been more in the 80s with the gimmick in Florida with the devil gimmick type of thing in
Right.
Florida. would have been Pete Sullivan, but as a strategist, you know, and I think that's just a unit that's been together more and has worked more than Booker's court, which I didn't even remember was a thing. I remember he was the king of the ring and he had Queen Charmelle, but I did not remember Finley and Regal being with him.
You know, we are going to have to, we'll do a random match review if it exists of if there's a match with the entire King Booker's court.
Yeah, we'll have to see if we can find one. I would definitely like to see that because I
Like,
do not remember that.
I'm sh like, it just, there has to be some random Raw match out there.
Yeah, and I do remember King Booker, and that was a great career revitalization for him, giving
Which is
him.
surprising considering it was a King gimmick that.
Yeah, but it was something just completely different for him to do, and the fact that he committed to it 100%, and so did Charmel.
Yeah.
I know we, you know, talked crap on Charmel when she got in the Hall of Fame. What was it two years ago?
Did, yeah.
But she did commit herself to the gimmick just as much as he did, and that really did help to get it there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right. Well, that makes for a fun end for our Blizzard Bash show. Like I said, please tune in, and you know, if you have matches that you think we should discuss, we would love to take requests.
Sure.
That would also be a lot of fun. So, check out our other videos, segment surgery, random match reviews, and we are available wherever you listen to podcasts. Hit the like button on this video and subscribe to our content. For Leonard, my name is Chad, and we will see you next time.